When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Community Matters here on 103.7 WEEI. I'm your host, Scott Cordishi. Glad you could join us. Community Matters is the show that comes your way each Saturday morning and keeps you up to date and in touch with many of the great things happening in and around our communities here in the state of Rhode Island, also in eastern Connecticut and in southeastern Massachusetts. And this morning, it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the program. He is the president of the RISPCA, the Rhode Island Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Wayne Kazarian is our guest. Wayne, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning, Wayne. I guess, first of all, before we even do anything, congratulations are in order. I understand that you will be retiring your role as president at the end of the year. This is a role, correct me if I'm wrong, you can kind of take me through your history with the RISPCA, but you've been in this president's role since 2020, so for 5 years, but been involved with the organization as a member of the board for 25 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've been involved since, gosh, just about the turn of the 21st century, and had been on the board for quite a while. And unfortunately, our former president passed away at about the same time that his replacement was leaving the position. It was during COVID. And I was at about that point in my career where I was considering retiring from my job as a lawyer. Yep. So I stepped in here 5 years ago, and it's been quite a ride.
So let me ask you this. Obviously, this organization, this cause must mean a lot to you. As I mentioned, you joined the board back in 2000. You've served as president for the past 5 years. What is it about the RISPCA that means so much to you?
Actually, from my perspective, and my perspective is a little bit different than many of the folks that are involved in animal welfare, the RISPCA particularly forms a nexus between the community, particularly disadvantaged people in the community, and the balance of the community. And that link is the animals. And I learned that early in my career working in nonprofits. At one point, just before Travelers Aid became Crossroads, I chaired that board. I chaired the Macaulay board. And I ended up becoming involved in the RISPCA board at the invitation of a veterinarian, Dr. Finocchio, who became our president. And it became clear to me then that it was actually a lot easier to connect with people on the RISPCA animal side than it was when you were dealing with the disadvantaged folks out in the community. So it's that nexus that has kept me involved. And it's something that we're doing a really good job with here, more so than some of the other traditional animal welfare organizations, although there are many in Rhode Island that are now really focusing on that connection and are doing a good job. PARL, Providence Animal Rescue League, comes to mind. Potter League in Newport is doing an awful lot. So I'm feeling really blessed to have been involved in this endeavor at the time that that transition seems to really be taking on some headway.
A couple of challenges and or accomplishments under your tenure as president, I'd love you to talk about a little bit. Number one, you guided the RISPCA through the COVID era, and I'm wondering what that was like. And then the other is, of course, your move to your brand new Warwick facility, all 28,000 square feet of it. That's quite a big undertaking as well. Can you talk about those two challenges / accomplishments?
Sure. Well, I came in, COVID had been going strong for 6 months or so by the time I came in. So a lot of the heavy lifting was done by my predecessor, Joe Wazika, and our vice president, Julie Nadro. So they had the organization pretty well pared down and running. So I don't want to take any credit for that. But it was an interesting time in animal welfare because so many people were adopting animals during that period of time. And of course, we were closed to the public and there were masks, and it was a little bit more difficult to interact during those transactions. But we got through that pretty much seamlessly until the end of COVID, when all these people were realizing that owning animals comes with responsibility. And then we started seeing them come back. So that was, the pendulum swings, and the pendulum did swing. But I can say that that has been the history of the Rhode Island SPCA for, well over 100 years, 150 years, actually. We respond to societal needs. We serve the state of Rhode Island, and we did that during COVID.
Talk to us about your new facility in Warwick. Again, I think, have you made the complete move from East Providence to Warwick? Is that
Yeah, we've been in Warwick since September of 2023. When I came to the Rhode Island SPCA as president, we were located, and we still own that building, but we were located in Riverside in an 8,500 square foot facility, depending on how you count the square footage, but it's about 8,500 square feet that was built in the early 1980s as an animal shelter and was a state-of-the-art facility back in 1980s. That project was driven, and your Brown connections will recognize this, but David Meehan, who of the Meehan Foundation and the Meehan family, was the driving force in creating that facility in 1980. By the time I got there, literally we had three people sharing a 10 by 12 office with little tiny desks. We just had no room. The shelter standards had changed, so the kennels were smaller than they needed to be, and we had very limited space for a veterinary clinic. So met with the board, looked at some demographics, and one of the things we realized was that our location in Riverside, literally in the corner of the state by Seekonk, was really not serving the full state of Rhode Island as we wanted to. So we did some demographics, and we decided that Warwick was an ideal location, and we were lucky enough to find a facility that was the former headquarters of Plan International, also known as Foster Parents Plan, right off of Jefferson Boulevard. We bought that building. We did a full renovation, and now we've got a state-of-the-art facility here. We've got a 4,500 square foot vet clinic serving the public and also serving our animals. Our law enforcement is located here. Rhode Island Energy has been great with us. Our facility abuts the power line, so they've allowed us to create a dog walking path that's exclusive to us, so that even though we're in an industrial facility, our dogs can get out and walk in grass. It's been a remarkable transformation. So, as in connection with tripling the size of our organization, we've actually more than doubled, and in some areas, more than tripled our community outreach. So our adoption numbers are higher. We didn't have a vet clinic when I came in. Our animal health center is now serving, seeing over 3,000 patients a year. It's been a remarkable trajectory.
That's
And
great.
actually, it's pretty well in place now, which is the precursor to my retirement. I'm the person that likes to work on structuring and restructuring. We have great staff. They're in place. Place is running pretty well. And it may be time for me to move on to my next project, or maybe at my age, no other project. We'll see how that goes.
Well, that's got to be comforting to know, though, that all your ducks are in a row, so to speak, at the RISPCA. So you feel good about walking away when you're walking away because you feel like the organization is in lots of very good hands.
It is. And, in fairness to my staff are animal experts. They live and breathe animals. I'm the outside guy who came in as an administrator. I like animals, but they're the true experts. Our vets are great. Our kennel staff is great. Our cat and small animal staff know things that I will never know. And it's really remarkable to watch them work.
So I saw a graphic with some of your 2024 numbers in review, 923 adoptions, 455 placed in foster care, 594 were spayed or neutered. You had 137 volunteers in 2024. All of those impressive numbers. I guess the bigger question, Wayne, would be if you had to describe the RISPCA's mission, is it, and I'm kind of trying to explain this in simple terms, is it We rescue animals, try to nurture them, bring them to full health, and then find a loving home for them. Is that what you're all about?
Well, our actual mission statement, my elevator speech, is that we protect and care for animals. Now, in fairness to that statement, we have to limit our services really to domestic animals. We don't have the bandwidth to handle wildlife. The Wildlife Center in Rhode Island does a great job, but this is an area where there is just simply too much demand for the limited supply to address. But our goal is that we protect and care for animals in service to the state of Rhode Island, which makes us a little bit different. Of those 923 adoptions, most of those dogs and cats were Rhode Island animals. Many of them were surrenders, some were strays, but we serve the people of the state of Rhode Island, and we feel that our primary goal is to work on those animals. Pretty much everyone else, with the exception really of Providence Animal Rescue League, that I'm familiar with in Rhode Island on a regular basis, accept outer state transfers. And those transports are certainly serve a purpose, and they're dealing with animals that need help. But we're here, we're focused on Rhode Island, and we're addressing those animals. And that 594 spay neuters, those were spay neuters of just our animals. Every animal that we adopt out is adopt out sterilized, has medical assistance. So, at a minimum, those 594 animals that we did a spay neuter on probably got, $250 worth of veterinary care before we adopted them out for about that same amount of money. So it's a good deal to come here. If people come here, they're helping Rhode Island animals, and they're helping Rhode Islanders.
We're talking to Wayne Kazarian, president of the RISPCA. For more information, their website is rispca.org. You can also find them on social media. Wayne, you have a humane education department that reaches over 3,000 students annually. What are some of the things that this department sets out to accomplish?
So one of the major transformations for the RISPCA when we moved to our new facility is that we have the room now to fulfill that mission. And our trucks drive around, or our vans, when they go to visit schools, and they say something on the side, something like empathy through education. What we are doing is we are reaching out to children, primarily children in city schools. And we are bringing in animals, we're introducing them to animals, we're introducing them to what it takes to own an animal, and we're connecting them to the animals. But the growth of that program has been exponential since we moved into the new building. So I'm in my office now. We have a disguised educational program that we call a summer camp for children. We run eight weekly sessions. So we've got 12, I think that this week they're 8 to 11 year olds in camp, learning about animal care, interacting with the animals, getting some hands-on time with animals, and playing and doing the other things that kids do at camp. We go in and see students in the city schools. So we bring animals into the city schools. We have three mascots in our education classroom, and we have a true classroom set up. Slinky is a ferret. Slinky is an aged ferret with some medical needs that we're attending to. And then we've got Beans and Beatrice, who are hamsters, who are comfortable being handled by the kids. And Fiona is a rescue that is owned by our head teacher. But we seized Fiona in a law enforcement case back in Pawtucket 3 or 4 years ago. Fiona is now a certified therapy dog. So we go out into the school. The animals create an instant connection with the students. The other thing we do in that program is we provide field trips. Now, really only one a month or two a month, depending on funding. But we'll go into an inner city school. We'll offer a services. You can bring your kids to the RISPCA. We provide the bus if they can't get the school's department to do it. We provide lunch, and the kids come in for a full day. So any given day, I can walk out of my office and there'll be 60 screaming kids in our assembly room, interacting with teachers and animals and learning about animal care. So, and we do that and we fund those field trips because, you know, it can take a teacher months to get one of those programs approved. It's an awful lot easier for them to say, I want to bring my kids to the SPCA. No cost to the school system, just bring them in, and we do that.
Two more quick things, and I thank you for your time this morning, Wayne. Number one, upcoming events. I know one of your big ones takes place in September this year on September the 13th, Paws in the Park at Goddard Park. But coming up on Saturday, July 26th, you have Ales for Tales at the Guild in Pawtucket. I guess for every beer bought, $2 is going to be donated to the RISPCA. I might be oversimplifying it, but tell us about any upcoming events that you'd like to
No,
discuss.
you're really not. Those are the two big ones that are coming up, but we have events on a regular basis, really as fundraising vehicles for us, and they do serve that purpose, but more importantly, as community outreach so that people get to know us. Ales for Tales is a good one. We'll bring some animals, we'll meet some people who otherwise wouldn't know us, and hopefully we can incentivize them to visit. Because it's really when you visit and you see what we're doing here that we generate, you know, the community support that we need. We don't have any government funding for our programs. Our law enforcement programs are fully funded by community support and by our limited endowment funds. And, you know, at the moment, it makes it a little bit easier for us to maneuver than some of the other nonprofits that get direct government funding. But in the long term, that limits our ability to respond as much as we can. So bringing people into the facility so that they know what we're doing, they see the quality of the services that we provide. And I've got to say, our veterinary services are great. Care for the animals are great. You'll notice a difference when you come here as compared to some other facilities. And we need folks to see it so that they'll support us.
Absolutely. Well, and that leads me into my final question, and I'm so glad that you brought all of this up, and that is, Wayne, how can people help? Whether it be, donations, sponsorships, volunteering, how can people help the RISPCA?
So donations and sponsorship are great, and we need those, and we expect those, and we do a pretty good job of making sure people know we're available. Volunteering is an evolving program for us. We did have 137 volunteers. It really is essential to us that we supplement our volunteer programs so that we can rely on the volunteers. So, for instance, if someone volunteers every Saturday for 4 hours, we know that we're going to get a number of dogs scheduled and walked. Our dogs, actually in our kennels, get walked a minimum of 3 times a day, physically by staff and by volunteers. But
Right.
we need to rely on that because otherwise I'm backfilling with staff time for services that we would hope volunteers could support. We also are implementing and in the process of formalizing a program that we're calling HEART, which is Humane and Emergency Animal Response Team, which essentially is the volunteer fire department equivalent to animal welfare. So we get called out periodically to hoarding situations or to law enforcement situations where we have to seize a number of animals.
Yeah.
And we're looking to create and train a group of volunteers who can support us in those emergency situations. So I would say folks that are interested and are willing to commit, particularly folks with experience, law enforcement experience would be great because we do have the ability to enforce the animal cruelty laws in Rhode Island. So advice and support in that area would be welcome as well. But volunteers, anyone who can commit time that we can rely on to our volunteer program would really be a benefit.
All right. And for contact information and more information on the Rhode Island Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, go to their website, rispca.org. Again, you can find them on social media as well. Wayne, thanks so much for joining us this morning on the show. Really appreciate it. And congratulations on your upcoming retirement at year's end.
Thank you very much. It's It's been great to be here, and it's been a pleasure talking to you.
That is Wayne Kazarian, president of the RISPCA, our guest here on Community Matters. My thanks to Wayne for joining us this morning. Thanks to my producer, Laura Minicucci. And most of all, thanks to all of you for tuning in. My name is Scott Cordeschi. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Community Matters with your host, Scott Cordeschi. If your group or organization would like to be part of the show, email us at communitymatters@weei.com.